A reading from Hebrews. Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again, as the high priest enters the holy place year after year, with blood that is not his own. For then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord. I feel some pressure this morning. I received an email from our stewardship co-chairs about today that included this: "You always do such a beautiful job of tying the stewardship theme into your sermon." Nothing subtle there. So there's that. I also know that weekly giving is running behind budgeted income, and the long-term result of that, if not corrected, will not be good. A memo from our congregation president this week said, "I will mention this at congregational meeting next Sunday, but think we need to have some plans for more reinforcement to the congregation. Any ideas?" So there's that. I have to be sure you hear that. And of course, there is the normal weekly pressure to try to say anything meaningful at all. There's that. I could put the pressure on you today by abusing today's gospel reading. I could say that Jesus is watching and judging your offering. I could say that Jesus would prefer that you give everything you have to live on to the church rather than just part of your abundance, even if that's a lot. I don't believe that's the point of the story, though. In context, this story of the widow's two tiny coins happens right after Jesus taught this: "Beware of the scribes who liked to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour women's houses, widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. Then comes this story where a widow is clearly devoured by the temple leaders, while the wealthy are condemned for giving large offerings for show. In context, this story happens right before Jesus foretells the destruction of the temple and the persecution of his followers and the coming of the Son of Man in glory and the necessity for watchfulness. It happens right before Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, declaring it to be his body and blood. It happens right before Jesus is arrested and executed. It happens right before Jesus, like the widow, sacrifices everything. Because God so loves the world, Jesus sacrifices his life. According to the letter to the Hebrews, Jesus appeared once for all to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself, to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. So I'm not going to tell you that you should put everything you have to live on in the offering plate. That might be productive, but it would not be loving. It would be devouring. You know, I would worry about what happened to the widow in the story if it weren't for the fact that Jesus noticed what she did. And I am confident that he found a way to lovingly attend to her needs, because that's who he was and what he did. I'm not going to tell you that large offerings are bad either, though they shouldn't be for show. They should be proportionate to our abundance. And whether we admit it or not, compared to the rest of the world, we are most assuredly people of abundance. Here's what I am going to tell you. Your offerings to the church should definitely be related to your thankfulness for God's love for you and for Jesus' sacrifice for you and the world. How do you value Jesus' ultimate act of love? What is this congregation, where we can feast on the body and blood of Jesus and hear the good news of God's love and be in a community of love for each other and for the world, worth to you? There are lots of great charitable organizations that do really good things in the world that depend on our contributions. But this is the only one that Jesus formed. This is the only one where we can feast on the body and blood of Jesus and hear the good news of God's love and be in a community of love for each other and for the world. So what is it worth to you? Is it worth as much as your morning coffee? Then your offering should reflect that. Is it worth as much as your fast food meals? Then your offering should reflect that. Is it worth as much as your social media? Then your offering should reflect that. Do you value it as much as entertainment? Then your offering should reflect that. Is it as important to you as having a car? Then your offering should reflect that. Is it as important to you as having a home? Then your offering should reflect that. Your offering should reflect how you value God's love for you. Offerings are not donations to one more charitable organization among many. Offerings are expressions of our love for God and thanksgiving for what God has done. Offerings are ways of reflecting and returning God's generosity to us. Offerings are the understanding that God lives in us and God's love is made complete in us. Offerings shouldn't require motivational sermons or guilt or begging. Offerings shouldn't put pressure on the preacher. You know how much money it takes to fund this congregation. You know what your abundance is. You know what your financial capabilities are. You know what all of this means to you compared to other things in your life. You know. And God knows you know. The preacher's job is to be sure you know this. Christ did not enter a sanctuary made of human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again, as the high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, Jesus has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Can the preacher get an amen?